Morning. The third of these three great Johannine stories that make up our final preparation before Easter. It's a tale told in the synoptics. There are various raisings to life that Jesus performs, but they're all 5, 6, 8 verses. Here, John expands the story to a whole chapter to teach. The miracle itself, unlike the one last week that happened really off stage, is quite dramatic, with Jesus roaring at the tomb. But the implications, the spiritual message, is even stronger. It's one of those stories that you can unpack. And at layer after layer after layer, you will find meaning, both theological meaning, spiritual meaning, even mystical meaning. What does it mean to us to say that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? What did it mean to them? It's interesting that the author, the narrator, separates the two sisters and brings them to Jesus one at a time. That seems to me to be a good dramatic technique to reinforce the impact of their words. One comes and says it, and then a few minutes later another comes and says the same thing. The listener might say, oh, maybe that's important. And each of them, when they come to him, says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. It's a very interesting statement. It's a faith statement. It implies Jesus' power and authority, that if he were here, he could have and would have made it come out differently. But it's also a challenge. It's a complaint. It's a bit of a understated railing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Grammatically, is a statement. Functionally, it's a question. Where the hell were you? We sent you word. He was your best friend. Where the hell were you? If you had been here, my brother would never have died. Why didn't you do something? What does it sound like? Sounds to me like something that you would never hear in John, whose whole passion narrative is deliberately cast in this very serene mode. But you see here in the passion narratives of Mark and Matthew, Jesus is hanging on the cross and says, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, where the hell was you when I needed you? I think that's a reasonable translation of the Aramaic. Not exactly literal, but reasonable. By the way, you might get a kick out of this. 3, 4 years ago, the Orioles had a young catcher in single A down at on the Eastern Shore, the Shorebirds. And Father Chuck Cantona and I were down there. Kid's name was Eli Whiteside. And he was supposed to be the future for the catching position. Didn't turn out. But at that point, he was highly touted. Came up with two men on base, down a run in the 8th inning, and struck out. Chuck and I looked at each other, stood up and shouted, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That's funny. In those circumstances. But it wasn't funny when Jesus said it on the cross. And it wasn't funny when Martha said it or when Mary said it. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Where were you when we needed you? That's an important faith statement. It's not a statement of doubt or disbelief. You don't complain about somebody you don't think is there. You don't rail at someone you don't think is listening. Just as Jesus is very much complaining to a God who was there for him, Martha and Mary are complaining to a Jesus in whom they believe. But they're complaining. And that's an important thing to know. Because it's us. Haven't you been there? Haven't you done that? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, my mother, my father, my husband, my wife, my kids, my friend would not have died. This would not have happened, or we would have been better able to deal with that. Lord, if you had been here. It's okay to feel that. It's okay to pray that. We get so sanitized in our ideas about what prayer should be, that it should be something pious and proper in a soft, murmured tone of voice, preferably kneeling by our bedside with our hands folded and our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Not necessarily. Prayer is communication with God. Good human prayer is good, honest communication with God. And that includes, where the hell was you when I needed you? It includes the full gamut of human emotion. Jesus certainly does the full gamut of human emotion. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Stood there in front of the tomb and wept. You think he probably knew what he was going to do, right? That in 20 minutes he was going to be shouting at that tomb and Lazarus was going to come squiggling out, all wrapped up. But he wept. He stood there and he wept because he lost someone whom he loved. And that hurts. There are a lot of well-meaning Christians, sort of super pious types, who will tell you that it shouldn't hurt, that you shouldn't weep. You shouldn't grieve for somebody that you've lost. After all, they're in a better place, and they're with God, and therefore you shouldn't grieve. The answers to that are yes, yes, and no, respectively. Yes, they are in a better place. Yes, they are with God. Doesn't mean I shouldn't grieve. Paul doesn't say don't grieve. He says don't grieve like the ones who have no hope. We don't. We grieve in the midst of our hope. Jesus did. So can we. Authentic prayer. The prayer of eternal life. It does not ignore that stuff. We pray our sorrow. We pray our frustration. We pray the shaking of our fist at God. And we ask, where were you? And of course, the answer is right here. Same as I've always been. Not always visible. Not always feelable. But always there. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Yes, Lord, I have come to believe. A minute ago, where were you when I needed you? And yet, when she looks at it, she knows the faith is under that, underneath that statement. Yes, Lord, I have come to believe. I know that you are the resurrection and the life. I know that the life we live even now is eternal life. Eternal life is not just something that I hope for that will be pie in the sky by and by. Eternal life is something that I experience now. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Yeah, we're all going to die in one sense. None of us will die in another. The life that we live already is the life of Christ. Paul says it, I live, now not I, but Christ living in me. That is eternal life. That Jesus, by the Spirit that you heard about in that second reading, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will raise you as well. The Spirit that you heard about in that first reading, the Spirit that moved over the dry bones and brought them to life, that Spirit of life is here, is now, is in you, is in me. The more we open ourselves up to it, the more we will feel it and experience it. And sometimes the experience comes in, where were you when I needed you? But it is nonetheless the experience of Christ's life, of Christ's presence, of the resurrection that we do look forward to, but anticipate already. It takes a little thinking, it takes a little praying, but somehow it all fits together. The weeping, the where were you when I needed you, and the confident assertion, I have come to believe. I know that you are the one who is to come into the world. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.